Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah! What's up, y'all? This is your boy, D-Mike. See, I usually do songs with, like, hooks and concepts and shit, right? But fuck that, man. I'm trying to go platinum. So I'm about to rock this shit. Check this out, y'all.
Read a book, read a book, read a motherfucking book. Read a book, read a book, read a motherfucking book. Read a book, read a book, read a motherfucking book. Read a book, read a book, read a motherfucking book. R-E-A-D-A-B-O-O-K. 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 Not a sports page, not a magazine. Ooh. But a book, nigga, a fucking book, nigga. Yeah. Not a sports page, what? Not a magazine. Ooh. But a book, nigga, a fucking book, nigga. Yeah. Not a sports page, not a magazine. But a book, nigga, a fucking book. Raise your kids, raise your kids, raise your goddamn kids. Raise your kids, raise your kids, raise your goddamn kids. Raise your kids.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very classy episode of Nerdy Show. Hello, I am Hex.
I'm Cap.
Brandon.
Colin.
And what you just listened to was Read a Book, Motherfucker, by D-Mite, a.k.a.
Not a rapper.
Not a rapper. One of his many
monikers.
Yes.
Plume de nom.
Moniker makes me think of how all the monocles we're wearing.
No!
I'm wearing two.
It's a book club. It's not a fancy caviar champagne party.
I crushed up fine china and put it in my codpiece.
I snort diamond dust.
That's right. This is the microsode promised.
Yes, promised to Joe Barta. Joe Barta, who actually is such a Roosevelt and or baller. This is actually the first of two microsodes going out to Joe Barta because he just donates like that in a strategic way so that he scores the microsodes.
Brilliant.
Joe Barta didn't specify any particular person, but the people we had available was us guys here. And this is the sort of thing where, much like Dan Blake's obscure movie microsode, there's many of us nerdy showers, and we could actually do multiple versions of the same topic. If you want it, you can ask for it.
But let's be fair. I mean, this is probably going to be, besides Brian, this...
Right, this is basically the literate group of nerdy shows. So.
What about Jonna?
Okay. Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I haven't read a
John
book.
What about John and Kristen? What about
years.
Luke McDuffie?
Never. Okay, we're mainly
talking about Mike.
Luke was supposed to be here, but he's running late.
So, book club edition of a microsode. I guess we're going to be talking about what books we're reading.
Correct.
Currently. So if they did another microsode, it would be
it
what
could
books,
actually change. Yeah,
it would be what books we were reading.
So at this very moment, yeah. I am reading Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's collection of Sherlock Holmes, Volume 1. Oh. I am at this very moment reading the short story.
Hex ain't bullshitting you. He is actually classy reading right now.
Study in Scarlet is what I'm still currently reading. It's the first short story that introduced Sherlock Holmes to the world.
But them's got big words.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, they do. That's what I'm reading. And I don't really want to... We got 15 minutes, so I'm not going to...
Really?
The mic.
Because I'm gonna.
I'm gonna talk about mine.
Good. Yeah. So, yeah, cool. You guys go then.
Then
Sherlock Holmes. Like, what the fuck? Go read it. It's amazing. Like, you don't need me telling you.
So it's not all hype, though.
No. It's still readable. There's a reason why Stephen Moffat decided to reboot it, to do his own version.
Excuse me.
It's amazing.
Perhaps I'm behind the times, but who is this Sherlock Holmes character?
Really? Shut the fuck up. You know who Sherlock Holmes is. Everyone knows who Sherlock Holmes is.
He's the Great Mouse Detective.
I do remember that.
Actually, interesting story, because it's Basil on Baker Street. Basil is actually a reference to the first the actor to play Sherlock Holmes.
Ew.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I read that while reading the introduction to the Sherlock Holmes Volume 1. Anyways, enough Sherlock Holmes. Well, what are you heathens reading?
Colin.
What's Colin?
You're reading Colin?
I'm reading Colin. The Book of Colin.
Oh, God.
It's
How to Be a Douche.
Yeah. Although we have decided that I'm the antithesis to Hex, so I don't know why. Anyway, so I'm reading Game of Thrones, actually. Game of Thrones.
But there's a show. Why read it?
Well, it's 800 pages, Brandon. 800 pages of glory. It's actually an amazing book. It was given to me for my birthday.
Oh.
And a lot of times I don't buy into books because of the hype. A lot of times I'm like, eh, you know, but actually that book, there's a reason why these books have hype. Especially, I'm reading the first one especially. It's for the folks who don't know, I know that Max Acree reads the Game of Thrones series, The Song of Ice and Fire, but it's 800 pages of awesome. Seriously. There are...
Is it softcore porn, I hear?
Because the show is softcore porn.
No,
it's borderline hardcore porn.
No, I've been trying to explain this to people. Basically, the way that it is that there is some sex in it. There's a decent amount of sex
in
it.
The odd page numbers.
But here's the thing. It's 800 pages, and I would say that maybe 50 pages concern sex. So within that 800 pages, take those 50 pages and then spread them out. And there you go, there's sex. So you don't necessarily find to be like a really sexy, super sex book. There's sex.
So whereas the show has some manner of intercourse in it every single episode, it doesn't necessarily have intercourse in every single chapter.
Exactly. I mean, there's
no one, it may.
No. In the book, there is one specifically that there's always something going on sexually with this one character.
Magical meow meow.
Yeah. But, well, he's older and she's kind of underage. She's like, yeah. It's one of those kind of situations.
Intriguing.
Yeah, you'd like it. No, it's good. No, but anyway, the cool thing about this book is that basically it's told from the perspective of, like, 10 or so primary characters. And using those 10 primary characters, he broadens out this entire world that he's been creating. So you get different perspectives.
That doesn't seem like the show at all.
You get different perspectives of this world from all of these different characters, where some characters know what's going on over here on this side of the war, or the war hasn't happened yet, but whatever, of this side of the conflict, and then the other characters know what's going on over on this side of the conflict. So the reader knows what's going on in the entire world, but the characters don't.
Mm.
So that concept is actually really fun to read. And that's where the tension is coming from. Because the reader is aware of like what this character is going to run into when he meets up with this other character.
Gotcha.
So there's also a mystical element that's going to come into play and all that kind of stuff, but it's great. I mean, I'm on page 700 and the war just started. And it seems like it has been building up to this battle, this war. It doesn't feel like it was rushed, and it doesn't feel like it was slow. Like, there were a whole bunch of different pieces that led up to this, conflict.
For 800 pages, I'm sure it doesn't seem like it was rushed.
The pacing must be great with 800 pages.
It must seem like you're actually living during the actual time it's happening.
Well, no, it's just that, you know, like, something will happen here, and then the consequences of this action will bring this other thing into action.
And because
that's caused by this
pages,
other character,
it's clearly in real time.
Yeah, well, true. Yes, it is. It's a real time. It's in a real time book. Just like how you have the real time movies, it's a real time book. Okay. So there you go. Game of Thrones. I highly recommend it.
Well, I guess we'll move on to me. Now, I normally don't read. Reading is for commoners. The last books I read were Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus and Don't Give the Pigeon a Hot Dog. Great classical reads.
By Mo Willems.
I think you should check them out at your local library or online, whenever you can. However, I did start reading recently. Again, I decided to pick up an old habit. I read Ender's Game. Currently, I'm reading Speaker for the Dead by Orson Scott Card. It's one of the sequels to the Ender's Game series. So far, it's pretty good. It takes place in space Brazil. Everyone speaks Portuguese in this book, and the Vatican is everywhere in space. That's pretty much all you need to know about this book. Orson Scott Card is a Mormon, and he hates women. Check out his books.
and
gays. The other book I'm reading is the Manual of Ornithology. Avian Structure and Function by Noble S. Proctor. You don't need to know the other guy because the Noble S. Proctor part is the main part. He's amazing. He has written a great book. If you like birds, this is written in such a way that you'll learn everything about them and you'll enjoy doing it. So, it's a good read. It's several hundred pages. It's got pictures. It has words. Both things good for a book.
Are the characters deep?
The characters are deep. So deep you can see inside them. You can see what makes them tick and just how.
There's three-dimensional characters. Because in Game of Thrones, they have three-dimensional characters.
There's three-dimensional characters. You will weep, you will laugh, and you'll have moments that make you go, huh, I get that. So it's a really good book. It's my book of the year, The Manual of Ornithology by Noble Proctor. Pick it up. Check it out.
I'd like to point out that despite Orson Scott Card's Mormon bigotry, he is in fact a very talented writer, or at least he has been in the past. And Ender's Game is an exceptional book that everyone should read. And it's despite the fact that there are redeeming qualities to the other books in the series, Ender's Game stands alone as being one of the greatest books I have ever read. And it's one of those situations where you really can't judge it based on the beliefs of the author because it is a literary masterpiece. And in addition to being a science fiction masterpiece, first and foremost, a literary masterpiece.
Yeah, the book transcends the author.
Yeah, by far. By leagues.
He knew about iPads in the 70s.
Man. Really the 80s, but...
Shut up. Edit that, Colin. Use some CG and change the date.
You're such a jackass. You've been reading the Book of Colin. I'm a hug. What have you been reading, Cass?
What I'm reading is the book A Deadly Shade of Gold by John D. MacDonald, and it's part of the Travis McGee series.
Fucking love this series.
I love this author. John D. MacDonald is one of the great Floridian authors. He himself, not a native Floridian, but a guy who moved here and loved it and wrote a bunch of books set in here. But it's also one of the great authors in the hard-boiled genre, which is a sidestep of noir. It's like a kind of more modern noir, and also a mystery. Stephen King, Carl Hiaasen, they all look to him. Everybody who's a big deal now looks to his books. He used to be one of the biggest names in literature. He died in the early 80s. I mean, his books still get read a lot, but his name means less to like our generation. We don't really know him. Cape Fear, both of them based on one of his books. Really the most amazing fight scene in a film ever, at least an American film. I can't really count kung fu movies. Darker Than Amber is actually, you can watch this fight scene online. We'll have a link to it. I've probably mentioned it in the past. It's actually based on one of these Travis McGee novels. The Travis McGee series is, I've set Luke on this recently. I hope he started reading, but it's a...
Well, it's massive, isn't it? There's like 50 books in the series?
No, there's not 50. There's...
40.
Well, I remember because we went to McKay's. We went to an awesome bookstore in Nashville, and Cap had a cart that was full of these books that he wanted to buy because he cleaned out all of Orlando's.
I'm looking at the list on
this
cover.
He cleaned out all of Orlando's used bookstores of these John D. MacDonald books, and then we went to Nashville. Apparently, you know, no one had cleaned them out yet, so Cap got there, and by the time he got there, the cart was, I just turned the corner and the cart was filled with books.
I did buy at least 30 books that day. But there's like 20-something of these books, maybe like 25 or so. And he wrote them from a period between the late 50s and up till he died in the early 80s. And so you take, it's got this character, Travis McGee. He's a boat bum. He lives in Fort Lauderdale at Bahia Mar. And actually the boat slip, the fictional boat slip, which turned out to be a real boat slip where he lives, was the first national literary landmark ever dedicated.
That's whoa. Awesome.
He goes by the title Boat Bum, but what he does in fact is he solves problems for people. He does dangerous jobs that make him a large sum of money, which he can live off of until he needs another.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Large sum of money, and he's basically, if someone loses something, he will find it for them and take half. He's very, very good at solving these problems, and he's a really compelling character. It's a much deeper read than most mystery novels are.
What if someone loses a daughter?
There needs to be some kind of financial angle to it. Otherwise, okay,
how does he take half?
we'll find a way, but
top half.
He's a
I prefer half. The bottom half. Yeah, that's the good part.
He's also, the character's also kind of a philosopher. He thinks of himself as kind of a modern-day Don Quixote. He's relatively chivalrous. He has a great mind for thinking kind of outside of his position. And he's one of those people who's too smart for his own good in a lot of ways, despite the rough situations he gets himself into. And this particular novel is like the fifth or sixth in the series.
Well, where should you, if people are interested in this, where should they start?
Well, you can go to Wikipedia or actually if you open up a newer copy, you can find these books at Barnes & Noble. I mean, I don't recommend buying from them because they're an evil corporation, but but you can get a list online, and it starts with a book called The Deep Blue Goodbye. And that book is amazing. John D. McDonald wasn't really sure that he had it in him to write a series and with a reoccurring character. So he tried it out. He wrote three books at the same time and realized he liked writing that character. So he went on. So the first three books he wrote relatively at the same time. They came out a couple months apart, and then he started going. And the thing is that books two and three are all right, but I'm not that huge a fan of them. Deep Blue Goodbye is amazing. And right after that, it goes to the fourth book, The Quick Red Fox, and that's great. You could skip over the first two if you want to. They're neat, but don't, if you start reading these, don't get discouraged by how those don't live up to Deep Blue Goodbye, because after that, it just keeps going. And one of the neat things about these books is, because they're written over this huge period of time, it actually, you watch this character grow throughout some of the most important decades of this country's history.
9/11.
And comment, except for that.
Sure.
And comment on the changing environment and the changing political climate, and you basically can watch, it's a time capsule. You can actually experience that time period through this character's eyes, because these are modern books, but they also read like period pieces. The amount of detail they're given about the society and things that were happening, it's an incredible resource. I'm learning more about my hometown from reading these books than I probably ever could have.
Wow.
At the risk of going over 15 minutes, which I'm sure we probably have done already, John D. McDonald wrote a couple sci-fi books. They're pretty neat. They're very, very strange. They're not common. He wasn't used to writing them, but he had a lot of scientific thoughts. And being the time period of the space race and everything, a lot of it was like socially relevant. That was in the mind of everyone at the time. And sometimes Travis McGee will ponder kind of bigger picture stuff about the universe in general, and they start getting pretty sci-fi. So I actually found an excerpt, relatively short, and I wanted to read it. And this is an example of every so often in one of these novels, Travis McGee, because it's all in first person, Travis McGee will go on this weird little side trip in his own mind, and you'll be like, whoa, where the hell did that come from?
Can you do this in voice?
Sure. It was a cheap and dirty little death, a dingy way to die. When dawn came, there'd be 100,000 more souls alive in the world than on the previous day, 750,000 more every week. This is the virus theory of mankind, the pretentious virus. Never knowing that it is a disease. Imagine the great ship from a far galaxy which inspects 1,000 green planets and then comes to ours and, from on high, looks down at all the scabs, the buzzings, the electronic jabberings, the poisoned air and water, and the fetid night glow. A little cave-dwelling virus. Mutated. Slew the things which balance the ecology and turn the fair planet sick. An overnight disease, racing and explosive compared to the geological time. I think they would be concerned. They would be glad to have caught it in time. By the time of their next inspection, 100,000 years hence, this scabrous growth might have infected this whole region of an unimportant galaxy. They would push the button.
Too bad. This happens every once in a while. Make a note to reseed the next time around after it has cooled down. Lofty McGee, shoulders hunched against the cold of the small hours, trying to diminish the impact of the death of a friend. But Sam was still there, in a ghastly dying sprawl on the floor of my mind. He wasn't going to make the PTA. They had closed his account. I squatted on my heels and picked up a handful of the damp sand and clenched it until my shoulder muscles creaked and my wrist ached like an infected tooth. This time they had taken one of mine. One of the displaced ones, a fellow refugee from a plastic structure culture, uninsured, unadjusted, unconvinced. So I had to have a little word or two with the account closers.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
All right, I might read.
Yeah, you got the first one. Can I borrow that?
You can borrow that. Yeah. These are good books.
Awesome.
They sound like good books. Now this has turned into a John D. McDonald microsode.
You can request that.
Yeah, what,
I'll do it.
What differentiates between this and like a modern NCIS CSI crap? Because
this is ground.
Show?
This is ground level. This is the time when forensic investigation was not the same, and he's not a police officer, but he knows things that police officers know. But generally, because he doesn't want police officers to interfere with his work, because it could threaten his reward at the end, he tries to avoid them at all costs. Sometimes they'll be too smart, they'll be on the level with him, and he'll be like lying until he's like, all right, you got me, and then he like lets it all out. It's a guy who, based on his occupation, he has to know an awful lot about an awful lot of different things to get by and to fake his way into situations.
Much like Sherlock, actually. Like Sherlock, it's interesting. I'm going to interject.
I was going to say this sounds a lot like Sherlock Holmes.
Where there's this beautiful scene in A Study in Scarlet where Watson, just trying to understand Sherlock, the depth of Sherlock's knowledge, is talking to him, just trying to like poke and prod, and goes, And he's flabbergasted at how much he knows, and then he gets to something that he knows nothing about. And he goes, so you don't know that the Earth revolves around the sun. He's like, why does it matter? Why does it matter? Now that I know this, I have to forget it. Because there's only so much space up here, and I have to save that space for something that's more pragmatic. Thank you for wasting my time,
and
Watson.
Both of these are very, very similar situations to, of course, the famous novel of Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus, where he uses mind tactics and all sorts of existentialism to attempt to drive this so-called bus, which I think is a euphemism. Great writing. But yeah.
You mean a metaphor?
Yeah, you know, it was a euphemism for a metaphor.
Okay, either way. Before we go, are there any books, favorite books, that you can really quick ramble off that one of your favorite books? Go.
Does Fifth Element have a book?
Yes.
It'll probably suck. Don't read that.
I haven't read Legend of the Guardians yet, but if it has a book, I'm going to read it.
It came from a book.
Then I'm reading it.
All right, there you go.
My three favorite books are Catch 22 by Joseph Heller, Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man by James Joyce, and Heart of Darkness by Joseph Conrad.
Yes, yes. Heart of Darkness is one of my favorite books of all time.
Yes.
Lord of the Flies.
Oh, nice.
And I also, this isn't one of my favorite books, but I highly recommend The Graveyard Book by Neil Gaiman.
I just recently read American Gods. Fucking brilliant.
Yeah, great book.
Oh my God.
Really great book.
And perhaps Wuthering Heights.
Fuck Wuthering.
I'm actually a huge fan of Wuthering Heights, but I understand it is not for everybody.
No, I would raise the Bronte sisters from the dead so I could then kill them with my own bare hands.
You know what? For the first time ever, Colin, we are in full agreement.
Yeah.
I would bring the goat to sacrifice to bring them back from the dead.
Ah, fuck
it. It's a really hard read because it's about horrible people. It's about horrible, horrible people doing horrible, horrible things, but I find it very interesting. And the horrible things they do are purely societal, and it's not for everybody. I completely accept that. Most everybody I know hates it, so that's whatever. Good Kate Bush song, though, right? I mean, I'm...
And on that note, this episode must come to an end.
So the track we're leaving it with is music inspired by some great American literature. This is Ahab by MC Lars.
Oh, I thought we were going to do a song about Bartleby the Scrivener.
MC Lars, classic track from his iGeneration album. Thanks for listening, and if you want us to ramble more about any kind of book or John D. McDonald.
We can keep this going.
Yeah.
Specific books or just more books in general?
Yeah. And obscure movies as well. I mean, we're completely content to revisit a subject, particularly one that has as many options as this.
And right. These don't even have to be my... These could be prime.
No one's brought up the subject of birds yet, so I'm still waiting.
There's a reason.
I'm waiting.
Anyways,
for you.
Thanks for listening. Bye, I'm Hex.
Bye, I'm Cap.
Bye, I'm Brandon.
And Colin.
Enjoy.
Fare thee well.
Call me Ahab, what? Monomaniac. Obsessed with success, unlike Steve Wozniak.
On the hunt for this mammal that once took my leg. With my worn down crew and my man Queequeg.
You're never gonna find him.
He's a big sperm whale.
The ocean is enormous.
Shut up, we're setting sail. This scar that you see that runs down my face has scarred my soul and inspired this chase. Mental sickness has got me on the run. Full speed ahead, this is American fun. There is whistling that is woe, so welcome to my life. It was fine until Moby scarred me like a knife. Towards thee I sail, that unconquering whale. To stab my spear into your white tail. The first one to spot him gets his gold doubloon. Now excuse me while I go be melancholy in my room. Bad trip, thanks to Moby Dick. Egg leg, sperm whale, jawbone, what? Whale crash, so fast. Oh no, oh no. The ship's got a hole, plug it up, plug it up.
We're never gonna find this white whale, are we copy?
Hey Ishmael, can I call you annoying? Grown up beluga in the deep blue sea. Swim so fast and swim so free. With the heaven above, Moby Dick stressing me. And this grizzly drenched crew below. Call it idiotic pride or call me Oedipus. My main tragic flaw.
But what about us?
It's your battle too, crew, man versus beast. At least have respect as we sail south and east and north and west. Look, I'm doing my best. While the rain keeps pouring, we're exhausted and stressed. Pimp went insane when he almost drowned. So profound when he shrieks like a little sailor clown. Random ships we met warned us of our doom. They said our boat would be our tomb. Near the Mariana Trench, deep in Oceanic, we spotted Moby Dick so white and titanic. Bad trip, thanks to Moby Dick. Peg leg, sperm whale, jawbone, what? Whale crash, so fast. Oh no, oh no. The ship's got a hole, plug it up, plug it up. Bad trip, thanks to Moby Dick.
You took my leg and for that you must die. I threw my spear and hit Moby in the eye. He charged the boat, it began to sink. I said, how about that? Hubris really stinks. I didn't think that it would end like this. Pride meant fate, this captain got dissed. Let it be a lesson, revenge is never sweet. So I stopped my pay to the super grass beat.
That's it, thanks to Moby Dick. Peg legs, turn whale, jawbone, what?
For listening to Nerdy Show, you damn fine American. Nerdy Show is brought to you by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, Play and Trade Oviedo, and listeners like you. If you enjoyed what you heard, support Nerdy Show by telling a friend, picking up some merch at the Nerdy Store, or donate directly and receive exclusive perks. You know, capitalism, you goddamn commies. For more episodes of Nerdy Show, Dungeons and Doritos, videos, contests, and other nerdy programming, visit nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show podcasts via the iTunes Store. Follow us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Twiddler. It's goddamn Twiddler now. Buy it, make it. And get social with other Nerdy Show nerds at nerdyshow.com forums, you goddamn bags of cocks. Nixon out.
In 3, 2, 1.
Well, if the microphone picked that up, that was the sound of Brandon farting. What a perfect way to open up an episode about us talking about literature.
I opened up.
Yep. The cheeks parted and...
It doesn't smell that bad because I just pooped. It smelled bad just, before, but now it's okay.
It's just air now. It's just air. Nope. Wow.
Breathe it in.
Thanks,
no.
Brandon.
There's no windows in here.
Holy shit, are we really opening with this?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.